You are listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with Steve Worsley, the toxic mold expert and your number one source for mold consulting and mitigation in the USA. Let's dive into a brand new episode. Before we get started on this episode, here's a not so short disclaimer. While all attempts have been made to verify the content provided in this podcast, neither the podcaster or the producers assume any responsibility for errors, omissions, or alternative interpretations of the issues discussed here. All information stated in this podcast is the opinion of Steve Worsley. Steve Worsley is a mold specialist with over 25 years of experience in the construction and mold industry. The Toxic Mold Podcast is for information sharing purposes only. The views expressed are those of the podcaster and his alone. These views should not be taken as expert instruction or commands. While there may be references to medical conditions and symptoms, all podcast episodes are the opinion of Steve Worsley, and any medical questions or concerns shall be addressed with the appropriate licensed medical professional or professionals. As the podcaster refers to different mold types, please be aware that Steve Worsley is not a microbiologist, and questions concerning mold specifics should be answered by the appropriate professional. Steve isn't, nor does he offer, any legal advice. For any legal advice, you must speak with a lawyer. The listener is 100% responsible for his or her own actions. You can check out Steve's books on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and search for author Steve Worsley. You can also take Steve's courses on Udemy or Skillshare, and you can find out more about those at cnccontractorservices.com. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hello, you're listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with myself, Steve Worsley, and we have my wife again, Cassandra. You were trying to get out of doing podcasts, and then I told you that this was episode 250, so then you agreed. And then I think you said you'll do a few more. If not, you're just going to keep recording them. I'll find ways to get you to record.
Well, this is a very special episode.
Yes, it's episode 250, so that's, I'm pretty sure in 2019 is when we started this. Because we do one a week, so 52 a year. So that's about right.
That's right. Isn't it? That is.
Yeah, so we've come a long ways. I remember when we first recorded that first episode, I was really, really nervous, and I honestly didn't want to do it, but you talked me into it.
I did, and it's turned out. Look how it's turned out.
Yeah, it's been great. We've done our best. There's a few hiccups. When we made a move, we paused it for, I don't know, several weeks.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think we've pretty much been pretty consistent every week.
Very consistent.
I would say pretty much every person, or if not the majority of people that reach out, always thank me for you being on. So
that's awesome.
On behalf of all those that have reached out to me, we'd like to thank you for being here most of the time. We tried, I don't know, how many episodes did you make me do solo?
I don't know, maybe 13, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even think
not
it was
many.
That much. No. And, I just, like I say to our listeners all the time, I think having you on, you ask questions that I don't think about. And I try to teach people, but I don't think, I'm not sure the wording I want to use, but I just assume everybody knows what I know about mold.
Yeah. Most people don't. So this is a good opportunity. I can be the layperson in the room and you can be the expert.
Perfect. So yes, today is episode 250 and the topic is how do you kill black mold? So how often do you hear me talk about killing mold?
I don't really ever hear you use that term. Yeah. I don't think you like the term.
I don't like it at all, actually. And the reason I don't, and I tell people, you can't kill mold. I don't mean it in a way that you can't destroy mold or mold spores from a, you know, microbiology aspect or scientific aspect. What I mean by it is there are thousands of mold spores in a home, and the mold types and how many and all that is going to be different for every home. But how would you kill every mold spore in a home?
You couldn't.
Yeah. And that's my point. Like, you can try. You can fog all the time. You could probably get high-tech equipment on your HVAC system. I mean, there's things you can do. And you can. And so I want to be clear to the Steve Haters Club out there. You can kill mold. But unless it's a high-tech air filtration system, even like airplanes, you know, they're known to have high-tech filtration systems. I still don't think you could kill every, you know, airborne pathogen or everything that's in the air.
Well, I look at it in the same way that I look when people say, I don't eat any sugar. And then you start to ask people, well, do you eat apples? Do you eat fruit? Oh, well, there's sugar in that, right?
Exactly.
So it's all about how people are perceiving it. Mold is naturally present in the air. You're not, the goal isn't to kill all mold because it isn't possible. The goal isn't to have absolutely no sugar. The body actually needs some forms of sugar and some forms are better than others.
Exactly. And it, you know, the reason that I wanted to talk about this, you know, it's interesting because I asked you, how often do you hear me say killing mold? How often do you hear other people say killing mold?
All the time. People want to know how to kill mold. And you're like, yeah, that's not the goal.
Exactly. And so it kind of brings up, you know, for me, like two different things. Typically when somebody's reaching out to me or I hear somebody say kill mold, they're talking about a mold infestation or a mold colony that they found, let's say, in their bathroom. When you're asking me that type of question, I'm going to say you don't kill that mold. Mm-hmm. You have to remove it. And that's one of the steps in mold remediation. And just as a reminder to all of our listeners, there are many steps to mold remediation. And one of the important steps is a containment. The purpose of that containment's obviously to contain all that mold and those mold spores inside of that. Now, does that mean all the mycotoxins are contained? Typically not, because mycotoxins are something totally different. But when we deal with that, you have to remove the moldy materials. You cannot, if you're listening and you see what you think is mold on the wall in your, let's say it's above your shower stall, if you spray that mold, which is what we hear all the time too, if you spray it, what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen.
If you only spray it, it kills what you sprayed, but then it also feeds it, doesn't it? It does both.
Yeah, so and we've done podcasts about this, but whatever you spray it with, if you look at the label of that, whatever brand it is, it's going to say 95% other. Well, what that other is water. Now,
which feeds the mold.
Exactly. So what happens is, let's say you're spraying it with, people love to spray it. They love to use the term bleach. If you spray bleach on that, the chemical that's in bleach, and all sprays have different chemicals, that 5% of that chemical that's in that entire spray, that is going to evaporate quickly. Kind of like alcohol evaporates quickly. Mm-hmm. It's going to evaporate, and then the moisture is going to go into that surface. So if you're spraying something, now if I'm spraying this desk that we're sitting at, that's not a problem, right? Because it's sealed.
Yeah.
So I can spray it and wipe it right off. Now the wall, if I was to spray that, it's somewhat porous.
Porous, yep.
So all that water is going to go into that. So you literally kill the mold spores that are right there on the surface that the spray hits. But mold is just like your grass or trees. It's trying to root deeper into that substance.
Absolutely.
Just like grass does it for moisture, so do trees. So you're literally feeding the mold if you're just going to spray it.
Well, and it brings me to a whole other thing, which when people talk about killing black mold, I think people miss a whole step, which is figuring out where is the site, and it's not of infection, but where is the site of contact? Meaning, sometimes people see moldy stuff and they spray it because they see it, but have you documented enough? Have you journaled enough that you know when you start feeling sick, what you smell, what you see? Because you could think that you're killing mold with bleach or some other myth in your house, but really the site of contact for you is actually at work and you spend most of your time at work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, you're saying identify the place of exposure?
Yeah, because I think people jump to wanting to kill mold that they see before they've even asked the question, where am I actually being exposed to it the
most?
Yeah,
so you're saying they're sick. They're probably sick from the exposure at work or school or even their car. But then they see a little spot of mold in their house and they run and spray
exactly.
It. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point to bring up. Like, you have to, and I don't want to get deep into the mycotoxin testing rabbit hole. And I say rabbit hole, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. But the exposure, when we test for mycotoxins, that's more of the deeper side of it to find out where the exposures happen. So when we do mycotoxin testing, if we've done it in your home and it's been done properly, if you can show because of blood work that you've had mycotoxin testing on your body, you've done your body testing, we've done testing in the home. If it's all done properly, we've inspected the property, it could likely be if that mycotoxin test comes back negative, the exposure's not at home. you could go do that test. Now, not to get down another rabbit hole, but if you're being exposed at work, I'm pretty sure your boss or the business owner is not going to let me come in and do mycotoxin testing. But if we were able to do that and we find mycotoxins, we can look at what mycotoxins were found at the workplace, what mycotoxins you have in your body, and we can directly identify the two. So we could show mycotoxin testing at home came back negative, and mycotoxin testing at work came back positive, and it's the same mycotoxins that you have in your body.
Absolutely.
It's kind of hard for your workplace or your employer, business owner, whatever you want to call it, it's pretty difficult for them to deny that's where it happened. But when you said something about spraying it, I don't know why I just thought of this. So once again, mold spores are airborne. So are mycotoxins. We believe, and when I say believe, I'm not a scientist, but from all the research I've seen, the case studies that have been done, mycotoxins are a defensive mechanism to mold. So when you spray it, it's like that snake releasing its venom. You can actually kill the snake, but if the snake's already bit you, meaning the mycotoxins have already been released, you still didn't take care of the mycotoxin concern.
100%, which is why it's so important to, before you start going, how do I kill the mold? It's important to A, document, B, make sure you get all the testing you need, not just one air test or one mycotoxin test. You need to get all the testing you need. And then it helps if you have something like that loofed, because now you have a constant, you can look at last month, the month before's indoor air quality. You have to have enough data to know what it is you're trying to kill, quote unquote.
Yeah, it's you know, like when you hear the term, you know, it's one arrow we have in our quiver. Mm-hmm. You've heard that term before. It's the same concept as a mold specialist, that a mycotoxin test or an air test or a tape lift or an inspection, all of those are that we have in our quill.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And so you can't just look at it and do only one test and take that to the bank. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind, too, not only are the mycotoxins airborne, so are the mold spores. So if you spray that, if you have just this one little tiny area, the spores that normally are not airborne, you literally just kicked up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. So really what you're saying is if somebody's saying, well, how do I kill black mold? The first thing is you got to know where it's actually coming from, what area, work, home, what rooms, how it's impacting you. But then two, you have to have comprehensive testing so that you know what you're actually dealing with.
Exactly. And one of the most important things that I believe gets overlooked is what led to that mold colony in the first place. It didn't just come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
There had to have been a roof leak, high humidity, could have been from improper grading and drainage. Something led to that mold infestation. That mold infestation didn't just come out of nowhere. So you have to get to the root cause of that. Was there a water leak behind the wall? If it's in a ceiling, was there something up in the attic? You know, in an attic, it could be not even really a roof leak. It's just improper ventilation, which will lead to elevated humidity. And so my point is you have to determine what caused it in the first place, and you've got to address that and fix that defect.
Absolutely. So let's say that somebody has found a mold infestation growing, whether it's underneath on the subflooring of a bathroom or it's on sheetrock, behind sheetrock. How do they kill the mold on wood or cellulose materials?
The quick answer, easy answer is you don't. So, and what I mean by that is there are steps that have to happen. And first and foremost, you need a professional.
Mm-hmm.
You need a containment. Now, does that mean our listeners aren't capable of putting up a containment? Of course, you can YouTube it. I mean, we live in the world of...
We YouTube lots of stuff.
We do, actually. And I mean, we just had a dryer issue. And how did I fix it?
YouTube.
I mean, so I guess my point is I'm not trying to make fun of people that go to YouTube. I do the same thing. But I was dealing with a dryer that wasn't working. I wasn't dealing with something that was impacting the health of all of us inside the home. Anyhow, you have to have that containment and then you have to remove it. So let's say it's on the subfloor. The proper way to do it is to remove that subfloor. And so our listeners are like, wow, like you just cut the floor out? Yeah, that's what you do. We put whatever we have to do and we replace that subfloor, but that's the best thing to do. Because as I said, the mold is trying to root deeper into whatever the surface. It's not just on the surface, it's going deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why if you think about like your grass, you've got to get all of it out. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. So literally, and this leads us into this question. Mold mitigation and mold remediation is a very intense process. It's not just, oh, I found mold on the subfloor of my bathroom. It's, oh, it's on the subfloor. We have to pull the tub. We have to pull the sink mm-hmm. and faucets to see, what do you call it? Chase it?
Yeah. You have
to chase it to see where else it is, because it's not just more than likely on that subfloor.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. You've seen it. You've heard me talk about all the time when we do mold remediation project, there are change orders. It's because the mold has spread further than what we could see. You know, and you have to keep in mind that when we went there to do the estimate for that mold remediation, we could only see so far.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we try to, as mold remediators, we try to prepare our clients, like, just so you know, we are planning on removing the vanity. We're planning on removing the toilet. We're planning on removing the flooring. So let's say it's tile or LVP or hopefully not carpet. We're removing all that for several reasons. We're not trying to price gouge you. We just know that moisture has gotten down into those things.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like you said, we can get to a point where, you know, we try to do it at the lowest cost that we can for our clients. But on the other hand, we have to prepare them and say, this estimate does not include removing the whole tub shower enclosure.
Correct.
But if we get to that point, we might have to. And that's why we try to, you know, like everything adjacent to it. So let's say you're talking about that bathroom wall. On the other side of that, like the wall we're looking at, the other side of that's the fitness room.
Mm-hmm.
We want to, if we can, do a flood cut on that wall. If our client says, hey, Steve, we don't want you doing that, we'll say, okay, well, we're going to do our flood cut in here, which obviously exposes the backside of that wall. And if we see any water damage or mold, we're going to have to do a flood cut over there.
Exactly.
So we do our best to work with the clients, but on the other hand, we're very clear, it's probably going to be more work than we anticipated.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, when somebody's saying, well, how do I kill black mold? I think I have black mold. You've got to know the site of exposure. You have to do comprehensive testing so you actually know what it is you're dealing with. And then you've got to bring a professional in
right.
to put up the containment, to figure, you know, to really remove floors if need be, do, you know, flood cuts and all that stuff that you can try to YouTube it, but I think it's going to be pretty hard. But what do you say to those DIYers who are like, I'm just going to spray it. Like I see it, it's right there. I can nip that in the bud, that black mold in the bud. I can kill it with a spray that I got at Home Depot. What do you say to that?
That won't work. You're going to make things worse.
Okay.
And coming from a man, I don't get to speak for all men, but we talked about this the other day. You know, we're going to start doing some Facebook advertising and you have to target a certain audience. And what did I tell you? What audience am I going to target?
Women.
Why is that?
Because women care a lot about the health of their home and family. And they're really nitpicky about making sure
right.
that everybody's looking at all the things that could be impacting everybody.
Exactly. And it's not that the men or the husbands or the fathers don't care. We care. We just think that because it's not affecting us that it'll be fine. And on top of that, you're trying to save money.
Yep.
And I guess my point is for those listening that want to do it themselves, just remember you could be making things much worse. Your 15-year-old daughter who's already a handful because they're teenagers, like, I know when I was a teenager, I was an angel. So, you know, I can't speak.
I was going to say, so you probably at 9, you were a handful. It didn't take till 15.
First stitches at 2.
Exactly. So, two.
But anyhow, I guess my point is you could make that 15-year-old daughter, you could literally be, I don't want to say making her sick, but you could expose her to mycotoxins that if she has any underlying conditions or anything, or your wife or your 2-year-old, whoever's in the home, your mom, dad, whoever, you could be making them sicker. And it's not something that you want to, you know, what I say, cowboy up. You don't want to cowboy up and be Mr. Tough Guy and be like, oh, I can handle it. I get it. Like, I get it that mold remediation done by professionals is very expensive.
Very.
But what is your help worth and everybody in your home? So my answer to that, which took me 5 minutes to get to, don't do it. I understand you want to, but get a professional involved. Trust me, it's, you can always, we have consultations we offer. We have a product we're working on, a digital product that is deciding your mold contractor, correct?
I think so. Yes. Choosing your mold mitigation contractor.
Right. Right now we're working on the mycotoxin one, but, yes. But we have another one that I've been working on for a long time. My point is get somebody involved that knows what they're doing. And when I say knows what they're doing, I'm not being demeaning to your uncle, your brother, your dad, who is a general contractor. You need somebody that understands the health consequences of mold and mycotoxins.
And that does it enough on a daily basis that they actually have expertise in the area,
right,
and not just sort of dabble when they're not building,
yeah,
a home or when they're not cleaning carpets.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's easy for your dad or uncle. They want to help you save money too and be like, oh, I can get an air scrubber and I can do this and that. And just make sure they understand it fully. It's at the end of the day, what we care about, that's why we do a podcast. We want to educate people. We're not trying to fearmonger, but it's not something you should do on your own.
Absolutely. And just keep in mind, all those beautiful sprays and things you see at, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot, they're not the commercial grade level stuff that mold experts are actually using. You can't get access to those sides that the professionals use at Home Depot.
Yeah.
They're not the same grade, not the same level, not the same contents.
And I see commercials like, and I'll just say it on Facebook, there's a, and I don't see it anymore, but it was a mold stain remover. Well, they would advertise it as a mold remover. And then when it came down to it and people in the thread or feed, whatever you call it, asked them questions, they would be very clear. This is a stain remover.
Yeah, it's not a mold.
It's not a mold remover. And do we use those chemicals? Absolutely. We don't typically go to Home Depot. Mm-hmm. The chemicals we use, they don't sell at Home Depot. But the chemicals we use are used for, we use certain chemicals for certain things. So we don't just use a mold stain remover like RMR. We don't just use that for everything mold related.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Which is why the expertise of bringing a professional, yeah, is so important.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, I don't want to sound like I'm totally saying you got to call me. No, you don't have to call me, but get somebody in there that knows what they're talking about.
Absolutely. What is your call to action for people?
We just pretty much covered it. If you have a mold concern, make sure you're addressing it properly. Don't just cowboy up and say, hey, I know how to do this, or I can Google this or YouTube it. My uncle's a general contractor. He knows everything building. He's been doing it for 40 years. Make sure, and I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's doing, but he doesn't probably have mold certifications and he doesn't do it daily. So get the right people. It's, to me, it's simple, but that's because I'm a little biased.
There you go.
So we're mentioning Facebook and we're going to start running ads. And one of the things that we're going to do is we're trying to build our email list and it has been growing a lot. So we will put the link, which you can probably explain it better. We have several opt-ins is what we call them, correct?
Yes, but you can find the mold investigation checklist at cnccontractorservices.com. But the latest opt-in, which is how to pick your mold expert, we'll make sure we put it in the link of this,
yes,
episode.
Yep, because I don't believe that's live on the website, correct?
No, it's probably a hidden page.
Yes. So we'll put the link for the listeners, but it's just an email list that you're signing up for. We're not going to send you an email every day trying to sell you something. I'm kind of big on not blowing up people's emails. We typically try to do about every other week. It's an informational email. It'll talk about things we talk about in the podcast, but that's all you're doing is you're clicking on that, putting your email address, and you're signing up to get our bi-weekly emails.
Absolutely. And you'll be the first, if you're on the email list, to know about digital bundles, education opportunities, webinars, trainings. The email list will be the first,
exactly,
to hear about it.
Yep. And for those of you that have already signed up for it, we appreciate it. Like I've said, our audience is growing quickly and it's awesome. And we couldn't do it without all of them. And I couldn't do it without my wife because she's the one that really got me into all of this. So
absolutely. Episode 250.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you go to our website at cnccontractorservices.com and sign up for the mold investigation checklist. Again, go to cnccontractorservices.com and get your free mold investigation checklist today. You can also on cnccontractorservices.com find out more about Steve's courses and books and consultations. Once again, go to cnccontractorservices.com.